राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लवा गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद विष्णुपाद परमहंसा परिवाजक आचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस ऑल ग्लोरियस टू गुरु एंड गौरंगा नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरो चैवं नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरी नष्ट प्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नष्ट की। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट नंबर 21। माया मनः सृजति कर्मामयं बलिः माया मनः सृजति कर्मामयं बलिः कालेन चोदिता गुणा नूतमानि पुंसा कालेन चोदिता गुणानुमातेन पुंसः छन्दोमयं यदजयार्पिता शुदश्राम छन्दोमयं यदजयार्पिता शुदश्राम संसारं चक्रम अजो अजाकोतितरे त्वदन्या संसार चक्रम अजाकोतितरे त्वदन्या माया मनः सृजति कर्मामयं बलिः कालेन चोदिता गुणानुमातेन पुंसा छन्दोमयं यदजयर्पिता शोदाश्रा संसारचक्रम् अजकोतितरे त्वदन्या माया मनः सृजति कर्मामयं बलिः कालेन चोदिता गुणानुमातेन पुंसा छन्दोमयं यदजयर्पिता शोदाश्रुं संसार चक्रम अजकोतितरे त्वदन्या माया मना सृजति कर्मामयं बलिः कालेन चोदिता गुणानुमातेन पुंसा छन्दोमयं यदजयार्पिता शुदशारम् संसारचक्रमजुकोतितरितवदन्या माया मना सृजति कर्मामयं बलिः कालेन चोदिता गुणानुमातेन पुंसा छन्दोमयं यदजर्पिता शोदशारम् संसारचक्रमजकोतितारे त्वदन्या मायामयं सृजति कर्मामयं बलिः Kalena chodita gunanumatena pumsa. Chando mayam yada jayar pita sudasharam. Sansara chakram ajakutitare tvadanya. Maya, the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Manaha, the mind. Srijati, creates. Karma mayam, producing hundreds and thousands of desires and acting accordingly. Baliya, extremely powerful, insurmountable. Kalena, by time. Chodita guna, whose three modes of material nature are agitated. Anumatena, permitted by the mercy of the glands. Pumsaha, of the plenary portion of Lord Vishnu, the expansion of Lord Krishna. Chanda mayam, chiefly influenced by the directions in the Vedas. Yat, which, ajaya, because of dark ignorance. Arpita, offered. Sodisha, 16. Aram, the spokes. Sansara chakram, the wheel of repeated birth and death in different species of life. Aja, O unborn Lord. Kaha, who is there. Atitaret, able to get out. Tvatanya, without taking shelter at your lotus feet. Translations and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. O Lord, O Supreme Eternal, by expanding your plenary portion, you have created the subtle bodies of the living entities through the agency of your external energy, which is agitated by time. Thus, the mind entraps the living entity in unlimited varieties of desires to be fulfilled by the Vedic directions of karma kanda, fruitive activity, and the 16 elements and the 16 elements. Who can get free from this entanglement unless he takes shelter at your lotus feet? Purport. If the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in everything, where is the question of being liberated from material engagement to spiritual blissful life? Indeed, it is a fact that Krishna is the source of everything. As we understand from Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 8. All the activities in both the spiritual and material world are certainly conducted by the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the agency of either the material or spiritual nature. As further confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 10, Maya Dhyak Sena Prakriti Suyati Sachara Rasham. Without the direction of the Supreme Lord, material nature cannot do anything. It cannot act independently. Therefore, in the beginning, the living entity wanted to enjoy the material energy, and to give the living entity all facility, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, created this material world and gave the living entity the facility to concoct different ideas and plans through the mind. These facilities offered by the Lord to the living entity constitute the 16 kinds of perverted support in terms of knowledge gathering senses, the working senses, the mind, and the 5 material elements. The wheel of repeated birth and death is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but to direct the bewildered living entity in progress toward liberation, according to varied stages of advancement, different directions are given in the Vedas, Chandomayam. If one wants to be elevated to the higher planetary systems, he may follow the Vedic directions. As the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 25, Yanti deva vrata devan, pitran yanti pitar vritaha, bhutani yanti bhutejaya, yanti madhya jino piyamam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. The real purpose of the Vedas is to direct one back home, back to Godhead. But the living entity, not knowing the real goal of his life, wants to go sometimes here and sometimes there, and do sometimes this and sometimes that. In this way, he wanders throughout the entire universe, imprisoned in various species and thus engaging in various activities for which he must suffer the reactions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Brahmanda Brahmati Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. The fallen, conditioned living entity, trapped by the external energy, loiters in the material world. But if by good fortune he meets a bona fide representative of the Lord who gives him the seed of devotional service, and if he takes advantage of such a guru or representative of God, he receives the Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of devotional service. If he properly cultivates Krishna consciousness, he is then gradually elevated to the spiritual world. The ultimate conclusion is that one must surrender to the principles of Bhakti Yoga, for then one will gradually attain liberation. No other method of liberation from the material struggle is at all possible. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tirubhasha Kirpa Sindhu Bhaya Ivacha Patitanam Pamani Bhyo Vaishnave Bhayo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advait Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing with the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. He is saying to glorify Lord Narsingdev and to pacify him after he killed the king of demons, Hiranyakashipu. So, as we read Srimad Bhagavatam, at least as I read Srimad Bhagavatam, again and again, I find a very, very strong message which Srila Prabhupada is repeating again and again and again. And if we try to summarize those messages, they are very important points which we can note down, and rest of the Bhagavatam is basically through different pastimes, different glorification of the Lord or Lord's devotees is highlighting those points. So what are those points? So in this particular section, as we have been reading the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, he has been emphasizing again and again about the nature of mind and also our desires. So here also the first sentence says maya mana srijati karma mayam baliya. So maya is the external energy of the Lord, mana is mind, srijati is creates, karma mayam producing hundreds and thousands of desires and acting accordingly, and baliya is extremely powerful. So this itself is indicating that mind is extremely powerful. And what does it do? It is helping us to entrap myself or ourselves in this material world. So how does mind do that? So by creating desires. So we have desires, it says here, hundreds and thousands of desires are created and we act to fulfill those desires. So Srila Prabhupada says that we know that we will not be able to fulfill those desires. It is just impossible to fulfill those desires. But still, we are so much under illusion and under the influence of Maya that we still continue, we put so much of endeavor to do, to accomplish those desires. And sometimes we feel, okay, maybe I have to work a little bit harder, and then again, you know, it is like mirage. When an animal is thirsty in a desert, it looks for water, and there is no water around. But you know, through the reflection of light, it will appear that there are some images in the desert. So the animal thinks that, oh, there should be water, that's why there are, you know, shadows or images. So it will run in search of water, and then when it goes closer, again the mirage shifts, and the animal keeps on running after in search of water. Eventually it does not find any water and dies. So our situation could be something like that, that we are trying to fulfill the desires which we have, and it is just impossible to fulfill them. So what happens, what is the result of unfulfilled desires? We all have desires, and I am quite sure that not all of them are fulfilled, whatever may be the nature of desires. So how do you feel if your desires are not fulfilled? Irritated. Yes. And when you are irritated, what happens? Yes. So we can even stop here. We don't have to go further. So we see that just by unfulfilled desires, how it can take us in a direction which we are trying to avoid. So when I was reading here, you know, I was just noting down some points, and it's very interesting when Prabhupada says that mind is always planning how to stay in this material world. So what does that mean? So long we have desires, we will be here in this world. And it's a not only for this lifetime, it will be lifetime after lifetime. Srila Prabhupada explains that whatever may be the nature of our desires now, if they are material desires, we'll be trying to fulfill them, and as a result, we'll be acquiring some reactions, positive or negative, depending on the nature of our desires. So we'll have to take birth again to undergo the benefit, to enjoy those reactions, or to suffer the reactions. So that means we are again we are binding ourselves in this cycle of birth and death. So how do we get out of this cycle of birth and death? That is what Prabhupada says an human life is meant for. We are here. Prabhupada says animals take birth, animals die. So if we also are going to be in the same cycle, that we take birth, we die, and then we again take birth, and then again die, and remain in that cycle, then what is the difference between a human life and the life of an animal? So this is an opportunity for us to inquire and see how I can get out of this cycle of birth and death. And he says very interestingly that you can... He talks about death. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we are talking mostly about death. Srimad Bhagavatam came out just because Parikshit Maharaj was to die. So Prabhupada says the death is as good, as sure as death. So there is no doubt about that. So how can we avoid death? That we as human beings should ask. And when I was thinking, it is very easy to avoid death if we don't take birth. And which means we have to work hard for it. If we do not want to take birth again in the material world, we have to work really hard. And what is the work which we need to do? First of all, we have to realize that we do not belong here. We do not belong in this material world. Our natural place is at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we have to make an attempt to somehow achieve that. And our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, spiritual master, they are all have made it kind of easy for us. We do not really have to, you know, be a big scientist or go to Himalayas and do meditation and do tapasyas like we have seen in Srimad Bhagavatam, so many saints and sages are doing. Prabhupada says we can be in any varna ashram situation. We can be brahmacharis, we can be grihasthas, we could be vanprasthas or sannyasis, and we can still achieve our destination. So in earlier times, people used to fulfill their desires by engaging themselves in karmakanda. So they would they have desires, and Vedas are giving instructions. It is said that 75% of the Vedas are talking about karmakandas. So what does that mean? That if you do this, this will be the reaction. If you do this, this will be the result. If you do this, this is what you are going to achieve, and so on. So a person, a karmi, is generally engaged in those activities, because we say, oh, I want a beautiful wife, so I will refer, okay, this is what I will need to do that. I want wealth, this is what I will need to do this. I will need to please this demigod, or this is the kind of activities I have to do. So these are all prescribed in Vedas. But we as Vaishnavas or as devotees of the Lord, we have to go above that. Just by doing that, we are not really achieving anything. We may be engaging in the activities prescribed in Vedas, but that is still binding us in the cycle of birth and death. It is not taking us away from that. We can get out of it only by engaging in the activities which are there to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, coming back to our original topic of desires and unfulfilled desires. So when we know, or we gradually learn, that the desires are going to increase, we try to fulfill one desire, and then there are 10 more desires waiting. And then we try to fulfill 10 desires, there will be hundreds of desires and thousands of desires. And it is a never-ending process. So if we somehow change the direction of our desires, the way our mind is thinking, then probably we will be making a good start and moving in the right direction. And this is a repetition, because as I said in Srimad Bhagavatam, what I'm reading is again and again and again, our acharyas and Vyasadeva, they are giving us the direction in which we have to move and how to move. So all the desires, all our activities should be dovetailed in the service of the Lord. Even if we are engaged in so-called karmi appearing, material appearing activities, if they need not actually be material, we could still be performing those activities for the pleasure of the Lord or in the service of the Lord. And if we do that, then there are no karmic reactions to such activities. In Nectar of Instruction, we read about Vikarma, Karma, and Akarma. I think I talked about it earlier also. So activities could be same or similar. In Karma and Akarma, the activities are same. But the consciousness with which we are engaging ourselves in those activities, that is the important factor. So if we are engaging in those activities for our personal sense gratification or fruitive results, then it is karma, which is bound to have a reaction. If we are engaging in those activities for pleasure of Krishna as a service, then it is a karma, which means there are no reactions to it. And it is prescribed in our scriptures that if we engage in such activities, we are somehow going closer to Krishna. Those are the only activities, Srila Prabhupada says, the activities performed with that consciousness alone can take us away from this cycle of birth and death. So I do not really want to highlight and go into different examples. I'm sure all of us are familiar with the activities in which we are engaged. The only thing is, when we have to see, are we engaging in those activities with the right consciousness or not? That is the important question to ask. Everybody is working. All of us have to work. We are in, Prabhupada says, if you are born in this material world, you have to work. You cannot just sit idle. Something or the other we will be doing. And even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that when you are here, you have to work. He tells Arjuna that you cannot go to the mountains or Himalayas and just, you know, do some meditation there. You have to fight. That is what your duty is. So in this material world, we have to work. But if we work with the right consciousness, we can get ourselves out of this this cycle of birth and death. I think I would like to stop here. Any questions, comments, additions, deletions, corrections?
As karma and akarma, we understand when one performs activities for the satisfaction of the Lord, that's called akarma. Mm-hmm. My question is, because one is not fully purified, that our so-called akarma, is that really akarma if we're not actually on the transcendental platform? If we're engaged in the regulative principles, trying to purify us, trying to fix our mind, would we really count that as a karma? what is the qualification for, or are we getting some reaction, even though it's technically called bhakti yoga, and we're trying, but is there still some reaction that's coming?
So my understanding is that when we are engaging in karma, at least we are doing what the scriptures are prescribing. So we are going to have, there will be some reactions, but slowly those karmas, if they are prescribed, prescribed duties as per scriptures, and we follow the regulatory principles, it is going to help us in our purification. So gradually our consciousness will be changing. So this is where we have to, when we endeavor with confidence, then only it will happen. We have to have patience and endeavor with confidence. Then our consciousness will gradually change. And then we will realize that we are doing the same activities, but yet we are really not looking for some fruitive results out of it. And it happens so many times. You know, when we see the love of a mother, I'm sure all of us have seen that. The mother is, you know, engaged in services from morning till evening. And she is cooking, she is doing so many chores for the children, etc. But she has no, she's not expecting anything in return at that time. She doesn't really expect anything from the child. She feels that, you know, I have to really, this is my duty to take care of my child. So that's the kind of consciousness with which we have to look at it. So when I was hearing some classes, says that Prabhupada was saying, actually this morning I was listening on the altar when we were dressing, that when you go to the temple, with what kind of desires you go there? So do I go, you know, I have a big list of I want this, I want this, I want this, or do I go with the consciousness that you have given me so much, what can I do? Give me some service, engage me in some service. And when such a service comes, I should gladly grab it and do it properly, to best of my capability, as an opportunity to do something or to serve Krishna. Krishna doesn't really need anything from us. Krishna is self-sufficient. He can do everything, or he has everything. It is just for our benefit that these opportunities are provided. That is what is an important point to know. Now, you said very correctly that we are not, or some of us, or most of us, are not at that platform yet. But it doesn't really mean that we give up completely, that, oh, I'm not there, so I will not be there, so why should I be engaging myself in these activities? This is what Krishna told Arjun in Bhagavad Gita. When Arjun was finding ways and means to avoid fighting, Krishna says that you are a Kshatriya. You have to fulfill your duty of fighting. And then you don't have to, don't worry about the results. Because if you are going to engage yourself in the war, there will be, there are two possibilities. One is that you may win, or you may die. And he explains that in either case, he is going to be, he's like in Hindi, there is a word for dying, for a Kshatriya, it's called Virgati, dying in war. So that means anybody, a Kshatriya, when they die in war, they get so much benefit out of it, because they are, they died doing their dharma. So we have to continue to do our activities, we continue to do our karmas, and if we try to do under the guidance and really with a proper consciousness, then gradually our consciousness will be purified, and our, you can say, propensity or tendency to do, to move from karma towards akarma will gradually become more and more. Does it address your question? Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, that in Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that when you will cease all your material activity, then only you can go for spiritual realization or spirit, then you will be situated in spiritual activity. So how you will comment on this point?
So Srila Prabhupada says several times that when we are in this material world, we have to engage ourselves in the activities. Now, the example is very simple, Prabhu. There are several examples available for us, and I normally like to give the examples of preparing, cooking, let us put it that way. So Srila Prabhupada was giving a class in Bombay, and he says that, you know, how the devotees are living and how the people next door are living. To an outsider, it may look similar. They are cooking in the morning, we are also cooking. You know, they go for work, we go for book distribution, we also engage ourselves in different kind of activities. So activities may appear to be similar, but for what are those activities being done? So material activities and spiritual activities, when we are saying, if we are doing this, if we are cooking and we are cooking for Krishna, that is a spiritual activity. When you go to Fresh Farms or Patel Brothers to buy bhoga, it is a spiritual activity. But you are not the only one in that shop. There are hundreds of other shoppers. They are also buying the same, you know, material what you are buying. But if they are buying it with a different consciousness. So that is a material activity. The consciousness with which we are buying is very different, that will not have any negative reaction or will not have any karmic reaction compared to anybody else who's doing the same thing, going to buy the same material, same ingredients, coming home and cooking them for his personal sense gratification. So that is the difference, that am I doing it for my own sense gratification or am I doing it for Krishna? That is how we can differentiate between a material activity and a spiritual activity. The activity may appear to be the same. Prabhupada gives another example of singing. He says, we are singing for Krishna, we are dancing for Krishna. Correct? That's a spiritual activity. But there are so many musicians, when they have a concert, thousands and thousands of people go. And they are dancing and they really go mad. So is it a spiritual activity? No. So, but they are also dancing, we are also dancing. But there is a difference. So that is how we can, you know, if we have this knowledge, and fortunately we have been given this knowledge, we can differentiate between a material activity and a spiritual activity. Any other comments? Okay. Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.